Man, the only thing better he could do would be lay down on the floor and be walking on his back. Amen. Well, God is good. And I'm really glad to be here again today with you. I was going over some notes yesterday, and the sermon I preached in Sunday school, I preached that many, many years ago, but I lost my notes probably 30 years ago on that. So I sat down yesterday and I rewrote it. And I gave my Bibles away that had all my notes scribbled in them, so I had to scribble new notes in here. So I have no idea if it's the same as it used to be or not, but it was new for here. And God is good, amen. I tell you, I could probably brag all day on how God has been good to my wife and I and my family after all these many years. You know, I've got two grandkids that are married now, and I don't see any grandbabies in the future with either one of them. I don't know what people are waiting for today. My wife and I, man, when we got married and we talked about waiting for a year before we had kids, and the next month I said, let's just have kids now, amen. So we did. And we had two within 2 years, one in 75, then one in 77. And thought about having another one, but man, got into a ministry where we were only to have two children of our own at the time, and we took care of all the boys in our home, and so we put it off. Then my wife got pregnant with our son, who was 16 years after our youngest daughter. We found out my wife was pregnant again. In fact, we were in a church in North Carolina. My wife was having a lot of problems. She was scheduled in Michigan to have a hysterectomy. And we found out she was pregnant, you know, instead. So ended up. I remember calling my daughters into the trailer with us. We had a little tag-along trailer back then, 35 foot long, and no slide-outs on it, you know, compact room. And my daughters are in there with us, and I'm sitting in a chair. My wife's sitting on the couch beside them. And I said, your mom, she just came back from the doctor. I knew she was at the doctor, and she'd been having problems. I said, well, your mom and I, we have something we have to share with you. And I'm looking real serious at him, and I said, they said, okay, Dad. And I said, yes, your mom is pregnant. And they said, stop your lying. You know, so I said, no, mom's pregnant. Mom, is that true? So I was like, I don't know why they wouldn't believe me, amen. I used to pick on them something fierce so I could get them to, I'm not kidding you, my youngest daughter was very gullible at the time, you know. I remember one time when I was having a sleep apnea test, and they have all those wires coming off you, you know, and I'm on the bed, and they just wired me all up, and I take a picture, a selfie picture, and I sent it to my daughter, and I said, they put all these on me, and the funny thing is when you start to go to sleep, they shock you and wake you up. And she texts me back, she says, really? So she had no idea, you know. So I've gotten them a number of times. So now it's to the point she says, are you telling me the truth or not? You know, I ain't going to believe that. Amen. And, I'm terrible when it comes to my kids. I love my grandkids. I do. I got another one that looks like maybe within the next year will be getting married, a younger one. And his fiance to me, or she told me last year at our family reunion, she says, I said, when are you guys getting married? And I said, you guys got to hurry up, because I said, I might not be around very long. I'd like to see a great grandbaby here. And she said, well, if we get married, we will have one right away, because she wants kids, amen. I said, yes. This will probably be the one that can't have them, amen. Who knows? Yeah, well, God's got a sense of humor with me, let me tell you. Jude, the book of Jude again, that's right there before the book of Revelation. It's the book right before Revelation. So if you find the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and you go backwards and find chapter 1 of Revelation and go back another page, you're going to find the book of Jude. Well, maybe it'll be on the very, it'll be, start the page beside it for years. Mine starts at the page before. So, but God is good. And everybody find your place so far? The book of Jude and chapter, what chapter in Jude? Chapter 1, because that's the only chapter there is in Jude, just one chapter. I told him in Sunday school, I almost said chapter 11, because I was preaching on verse 11 in Sunday school, and I almost said chapter 11, verse 11. I said, find that one, amen, in the book of Jude. I tell you what, this would be a good book. If you ever want to memorize a book of the Bible, Jude, amen. Third John, another one. Easy books to memorize. And I met a fellow a few years ago out in New England when I was preaching up in Maine in a big conference. And he was memorizing scripture, and he already had the whole book of John down. Book of John, amen. And he had like 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he had I think when I met him he was working on Revelation. He had almost all the New Testament. And then another young man that was there picked up on that, was doing the same thing. So all day long he'd have his, back then you had the Walkman. How many remember the Walkmans, you know? And had the headphones, the little thing in your hand. Now you got your telephone, and if you got hearing aids, it comes right through your hearing aids. I like that part, you know. The problem is, if I'm standing in a store, some of my phone rings, and then I answer it, I'll leave my phone in my pocket, I'll be talking to myself. People think, what in the world is wrong with that guy, amen? But I can hear it in stereo. I like that, because I can hear it in both ears, amen? And but he would, on his Walkman, he had the Bible. And he would listen to that all day long. And as he's listening to it, he would quote the scripture with it. And then it got to the point after about 10 times, he'd have it memorized. Yeah. So that's pretty good stuff. You know, you got to try to memorize scripture. Try to memorize Bible. I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole Bible, but that'd be good, man. How many, wouldn't that be great? Jack Van Impe, how many of you remember who Jack Van Impe was? Anybody in here at all? He was the walking Bible, that guy. Hey, man, he had it memorized from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22. He had it all memorized, the whole Bible he had memorized. And can you imagine that, memorizing? He must have had like a photographic memory, you know, where you look at the page and it, boom, it's there, and boom, it's there. That was pretty fantastic, man. I've never been able to do that. I have a hard time memorizing scripture, only because I burned my mind out years ago, but I do memorize scripture. And scripture but I have to quote it to myself all the time. Because if not, I'll forget where it goes. And I always want to add a different word in there. Anybody besides me? Now, I was in Virginia Beach years ago, and I went to a little Bible college down there. Wasn't there very long, because I'd have to go into a long story why I left, because there's some stuff that just wasn't right going on, Sister Jamie. I mean, it wasn't right, you know, how they were treating people. And I said, no, I'm not going to subject my family to this. So I was only there a couple of months and left. But when we memorized scripture down there, we had to memorize a scripture with the commas, the semicolons, the colons, and the periods in them. So you didn't just quote the verse. When you wrote it out as memorization, you had to put those things in where they were in the verse. Man, I had a hard enough time memorizing the verses, let alone that too, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Jude. How did I get where I was going? I don't know. We're in the book of Jude, amen? Chapter 1. Hallelujah. Look at me at Jude chapter 1. Look at verse 6 with me. This is the only verse I'm going to look at here real quick this morning for a few moments with you. He talks about, well, I tell you what. Let's just go back to verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 6. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, he's writing to those who are sanctified and called. So what does that mean? They're saved, and when you get saved, you get sanctified, amen? And that's initial sanctification. And then you grow in your sanctification, amen? So he's talking to these who are born again, saved by the very grace of God. In this text, so the mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied, beloved. I love how these guys, when they wrote in the scriptures, how they encouraged people so many times in the beginning of their thoughts, and then man, they slam you. Amen. It starts out real good, makes you happy, you know, and then all of a sudden, poof, man, you get socked right in the nose. Amen. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Huh. Sometimes people creep into the church unaware. They're not saved, but they creep in. There was a story. And I'm probably not going to get through this whole message this morning, but we'll finish it up at lunch. But there was a story of I read it years ago, of a Baptist church where a man came in, got baptized, joined a church, and it wasn't long after that, a little while after that, but then he started teaching a Sunday school class. And it was he had a teen boys Sunday school class. And after about a year teaching this class, the boys from the class came home to his house. His dad was a deacon in the church, and the boy laid a booklet down on the table where he was reading. His dad came over, he looks at the book, he says, "Where'd you get this?" He said, "Well, Mr. So-and-so gave this to us at Sunday school this morning to all the boys, and it was a Watchtower magazine." And they called the guy into the office, the deacons and the pastor, called the guy into the office and started questioning him. And he snuck into the church in order to get the material into the church. He lied, got baptized, never was saved. And he said, "I infiltrated your church." And so they immediately removed him from membership, and which rightfully they should do. Is they moved from membership and told him he was not allowed to come back to that church unless he wanted to hear the word of God preached. He never came back again. That's a sad thing, but that stuff happens. And so here in Jude, he warns him about that. He said, "There are some who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Otherwise, it's not that God said they're going to, God's saying this is what they're going to do. Amen. This is what they're going to do. "Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." He said, he says, I'm telling you something. He says, "You believed this." It's like I have to remind you again about what happened. So he says, and then he says, "the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Now, Father, I ask you, bless your word. Help us this morning, Father. Help me to preach this message to get the point across. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to, for a few moments, to speak on this thought, just one word in this verse. This word, darkness, the dark. Now, I don't know about you, when I was a teenager, in fact, when I was 10, 11 years old, in the summer, I don't know if I spent much time in the house at all at night. We slept out on the front porch, we slept out in the yard, we slept out, man. We look up, you see all the stars in the sky, Of course, we had a street light in the town we were at, so the street light kept it pretty light out. But if I was out back on a neighbor's property, we built a treehouse. It was about 25 feet up in the air, built out of solid oak beams, and we had a wall and we had a roof on it, and then I had a 12-inch runner around that roof so we could sleep up on top of that roof. We could put 8 or 10 people in that treehouse. Sleeping, because we could sleep 3 or 4 on top and 3 or 4 in the bottom. I mean, we slept in that treehouse, and you lay up there and you see all the beautiful stars at night. But boy, sometimes it would be dark, and if you didn't have a light, you weren't getting up in that tree, because we had to walk up a limb this way to grab a limb this way to walk up a limb this way and then climb up the tree. I watched my brother fall out of that tree one time and he dropped about 15 feet. Hit the brush down below, and it slowed him up before he hit the ground. Amen. It didn't knock him out. I'm the only one knocked him out. Amen. But darkness literally is the absence of natural light. Darkness, spiritually speaking, is the place of misery, ignorance, obscurity, and the place where unbelief dwells. The Bible says. The first place you see darkness mentioned is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, in creation. We see that separated the night from the day, the light from the dark. It's associated many times, darkness associated with sin and the divine judgment of God. Satan is the head of the kingdom of darkness, the scripture says. The earth bears the marks of sin and judgment. The last place you find the word darkness in scripture is in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 10. It is still associated with sin, and divine judgment is poured out against it. Not physical darkness, but against that satanic principle and force that is back of all ungodliness and infidelity. The Bible talks about the ways of darkness. Go to 2 Corinthians with me in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 down to verse 3. The Bible says this: But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. We're going to read through verse 6. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants for your servants, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded their minds, but they're in darkness. Unless the light of the glorious gospel, the light, the opposite of darkness, the light, the glorious gospel, Jesus Christ, shineth unto their hearts. Satan is busy blinding the minds of them that believe not, lest they should be saved. How many of you ever, I've talked with people, I'm telling you, New Guinea, Australia, boy, I tell you, Australia is they talk about New Guinea being heathenistic. Australia is cold. They are cold to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am telling you, it is a hard place to witness. You can witness, but it's a hard place to get anybody to really listen to you if they're not in a church service. You go out on the street. I was in Sydney. I was on the street in Sydney with Evangelist Clarence Heflin, a good friend of mine, pastoring in New York. And him and I were out, and we were going to get a bite to eat at a Burger King. They do have Burger King in Australia, amen. It started here, but it went there. And McDonald's started here, but it's in Japan too, amen. So, we went to Burger King, and on our way back, we were handing out tracts to these guys there were hundreds of people just walking and sitting in Sydney. And that was about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I tell you, we just started handing out tracts and talking to people, but they wouldn't talk to us. They just take a look at it. Some would throw it on the ground. Some would hand it back. Some would say, don't want it. And, you know, I don't have that hard of a time here in the States handing out tracts, Sister Jamie. Amen. I mean, people here, some people resist it, sure. Everybody's going to resist somewhere. But there, good night. It was cold, cold to the gospel of Christ, dark to the gospel of Christ. Well, that's what the devil does. He's blinding them so that they will not trust, they will not believe, they will not trust Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6 says, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Amen. God is light. And in him is what? No what? Darkness at all. None at all. Period. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you won't do things that are wrong. But he says you walk in darkness means that you are walking completely contrary to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're denying God. You say you're saved, but then you don't do anything about it. You just live in your life, and if somebody asks you about Christ, you won't even give them an answer because you're ashamed of how you're living. And he says you're walking in darkness. Well, I tell you, the devil is the prince in the power of the air. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:2, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince in the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. He's the prince in the power of the air. You know, if he's the prince in the power of the air, you know, God is in control of everything, but the devil is the prince in the power of the air. And so sometimes people will say, boy, you know, God's allowing the devil to do this. So God's still in control. Understand that. But he's a prince of power there to influence the world against God. That's what he's doing. He's not in control of you, and he's not in control of me. You're saved. Amen. In light and darkness, you cannot be saved and have. I've heard this. People say a saved person can be possessed by a devil. It cannot. Light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place at the same moment at the same time. If you're a born-again believer, you have been filled with the light of God. So the devil has no place in you at all. We ought to rejoice in that and shout hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he at one time had the power over death. The devil did. Had at one time the power over death. And sometimes people say, well, the devil's going to kill you. The devil's going to do this. Well, he might try, but he doesn't have the power over death. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. The devil has not had the power of death anymore. He destroyed him. Stop that. But God, I'm glad, that was chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 15 says this, but God is our deliverer, Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now listen, before you got saved, guess what? You were subject to bondage.
Amen.
Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You've been translated, amen. So he says again, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The devil doesn't have control over you. He doesn't have control over you. You say, well, you know, if I lose my temper, that's the devil. No, it's your wicked flesh. Confess it. Get it right with God, amen. Make things right with God again. You say, Brother Mike, you ever get angry? Yeah, I've allowed anger to... man, to hurt me, to hurt my ministry, to hurt my family. Anybody else besides me like that sometimes? I mean, I've done things and said things that it should never done, should never said, should never had that attitude, should never got angry, should have never, but I'm like you, the flesh will creep in. But the older you get in the Lord, the easier that should be not to do. Amen? It really should be. The older you get in the Lord, the easier it should be for us to let go. And just to walk in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you see this darkness, and then we see a walk of darkness in John chapter 8 with me. Go to the book of John chapter 8. Over in John in chapter 8, and look down with me just at one verse. Verse 12 says this. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall not. It's really, to me, as we see that, we say, well, that gives us the idea that we could do some things that we should not do. Yes, you can. But when he talks about shall not walk in darkness, that's not a thought for you just to think about. That's a command. He's telling us, don't walk in darkness. You're a child of light. You're a child of God. And so that means there's going to be some things that you just need to learn to say no to. You have to learn to walk away from. You have to learn not to allow to become a part of your life. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Amen. Because their deeds were evil. That's the world. Now, you're in the world, but you are not of the world. Amen. Your kingdom now is heaven. Your place you're going to go when you die is glory. Boy, can you imagine where there is no sun, the Bible says, and there is no moon in heaven, but Jesus Christ is the light thereof? Can you imagine that? I can't fathom that. But that's what the Bible says. And I just happen to believe what the Bible says. Amen. So what the Bible says, that it can't be wrong. Correct? If it's wrong there, then it's wrong everywhere else too. It can't be wrong. It's not wrong. I believe what the Word of God says. For ye were, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're commanded not to live in darkness, not to walk in darkness, not to do the things of darkness, but to walk in the light. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible says. In Ecclesiastes 2:14, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Aren't you glad for that? That your eyes are in your head? I'm glad they're not where my belly button is, amen? You won't be able to see a thing when you put a shirt on. In fact, that last button sort of goes right over the belly button, amen? If you're not careful, your shirt might have come untucked, then you'd be able to see if it comes untucked. But no, it says there in it means this, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. That means the wise man's eyes, he's considering what he's doing, considering what he's how he's walking, considering the things of God. That's what he means by his eyes are in his head, because the very next part of that verse is, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. You know, the fool and the wise man, they're going to die, amen? They're going to suffer some of the same things. But a wise man's not going to make his decisions based on what's happening around him. He's going to make his decisions based on this, on the Word of God, on the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's not walking in darkness. Amen? And then we see the works of darkness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12 and 13 and 14, and you can turn there if you want to. I've got it written out, so I'm going to read it just for sake of, I'm looking at the clock just for sake of time, amen. And used to be I didn't care what the sake of time said, sister, amen. I remember I was in Connecticut one time, and I had a pastor have me come and preach. He said, Brother Mike, he says, this morning I want you to preach a message, but I want you to share your testimony first. I said, okay. So I share my testimony. It was 45 minutes, and I preached 15 minutes, you know. And I still done it just about 12:05, something like that, because he got me on early. And he said, I don't usually get done until 12:30. I said, you just need to preach fast, amen, that's all. So, well, how did I get there? I don't know. Oh, time for time's sake, amen. The night is far spent, Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Woo! Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and study about the armor, amen? That's the armor of light. Let's put that on. Let's not walk in darkness. Romans 13:13 says, let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, which we talked about in Sunday school, amen? Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, that was when you make provision for the flesh and you begin to fulfill the lust thereof, the flesh, you begin to gravitate towards the darkness. Oh, you're still saved. But it might even come to a point where people look at you and think, I wonder if they really are saved. Amen. Amen. It begins to put a question in people's minds. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't have fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means, doesn't mean I've got family members that aren't where I'm at. In my walk with the Lord. Amen? And I've got a dear aunt, I tell you, she is saved. But she says some of the, she never went to school. And I don't think she passed the second or third grade. My dad only went through the third grade when he was in West Virginia. And that's all he ever made was third grade. And couldn't write. People, when he was in the Korean War, he'd have a buddy who would write letters to my mom, and then he could sign his name, but that was it. You know, I got some stuff, documents with his name signed. I got his Bible from when he was in the Korean War with his name written inside. He signed his name in there, you know. But he couldn't read, he couldn't write, you know. Well, my aunt, she don't read, and she just, I'm telling you what, I was preaching in West Virginia one time, not far from where they were at, both my aunts, and a passel of the kids. They brought a station wagon, about 15 of them climbed out of that station wagon, and my Aunt Wanda, she's the last one left now, my aunts and my uncles, my Aunt Wanda come walking into the church in her bare feet in a dress. And she don't wear shoes, you know, always barefoot girl, you know. And if you're not careful on that Wanda, you might hear a couple words like a sailor. But Aunt Wanda will tell you she's saved. Amen. So she might not be on the same page I'm at. Amen. But you talk to her about the Lord. She loves the Lord. But she's never been taught. She's never grown in some areas in her life. And we ought to. And possibly because she can't read. She's never read the Bible. Amen. And she has a good pastor down there. And but she just, sometimes she'll just get off on some crazy thoughts, you know. And I love her to death. She's had a stroke. She don't talk much anymore. She struggles if I call her, but I still call her and talk to her, you know. And she says, I want you to come and do my funeral when I die. I said, if I'm close, I will. But if I'm not, forget it. Amen. I said, put me in your will, and she'll leave me a dollar like my grandpa did. Amen. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, I had no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproved them. So if something's going on and you're with family members and they're offering, I had family members before offer me to drink, and I said, no, I don't drink. You know, I had one offer me years ago to smoke a joint with them. No, I don't smoke dope anymore. Amen. I just don't do it. And they start to tell a dirty joke, and I said, I don't want to hear it. Right. Reprove them. I don't get angry at him, Miss Jamie. I don't yell at him and scream at him and saying how wicked you are. No, you know what? Just by me saying, I'm not going to listen to that stuff. Come on, knock it off. You know, that's you know what that's doing? That's hollering at him. Amen. Right there. That's telling him what you're doing and what you're saying is not right. I'm not going to put up with it. I don't want it. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. The rulers of the, not just the devil, but the rulers of the darkness. Just look at our government, amen. Look at our governors, a lot of our governors in the country. There's a few of them that are born again, saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah for that. But we've got some that are wicked, amen. And that's against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's those who are in control. Not all of them are in spiritual wickedness. But boy, I tell you, there's more today that are in spiritual wickedness than there was before that. I saw an article yesterday on somebody. I have a friend from Washington State. He's just a year younger than I am, a pastor. And he sends me stuff on Facebook Messenger. I don't look at Facebook. I just don't. You know, if I send something, sometimes I'll send stuff, I think, to Brother David through Facebook because somebody else has sent it to me, you know, and try to make him laugh a little bit, you know. And he makes me laugh just looking at this picture when it comes up. But just is he listening to this? If you are, tough, amen. suck it up, buddy, amen. But it was talking about this. This interviewer was asking this black preacher, or this black professor, I guess maybe, and he was asking him, he says, I want you to tell us a story that you told about George Washington. And the black guy began this way. He said, George Washington, when he was in a battle before the Revolutionary War, where they were against the Indians. He says he came and he had like six or seven bullet holes through his jacket where they were shooting at him, but not one ever hit him. And so he goes on to tell a story about George Washington and how when Washington was, I guess maybe years later, the chief of the tribe heard that Washington was in the area with him. And he says, I would like to see this man, you know, the chief of this Indian tribe who had fought against him. And he said, Mr. Washington said, he said, I am a marksman, and I shot at you 17 times, and not one bullet hit you. And my tribe, my men, shot at you multiple times, time after time after time, and never hit you. And I told them, stop wasting your bullets. He said, I just wanted to meet the man who has a power greater than all in the universe. That was our country. Amen. So Washington, George Washington was a born-again believer, by the way. And God protected him. Amen. But we wrestle not against spiritual work, wickedness in dark places. But I want you to know something. God can protect you. And he'll take care of you. You walk in the light. Forsake the darkness. Push it away. Darkness represents falsehood versus light, which represents truth. Let's walk in the truth. Amen. Let's live in the truth. Let's practice the truth. Let's be what God would have us be. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm not sure where you're at in your Christian life. I don't pretend to know where everybody's at in their Christian life, but maybe somewhere in this message this morning, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. Amen. If he did, I'd like to pray for you. Can I do that? Anybody just slip your hand up this morning and say, would you just pray for me? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Others, you can put them down. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Father, I thank you for these who slipped up their hand. Lord, you know their heart, Father, and I ask you to continue to work in their lives and draw them close to you. Father, that we would walk in the light of your word and that we would forsake the dark things of this world. That you'd have the honor and all the glory, that you'd be magnified upon high, Father. I will be careful to give you the praise and the thanks. And Lord, now I pray, if there's anyone in here that's not saved, please work in that heart. Now, before I finish, is there anybody in here this morning say, Mike, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want to be in that light. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Could you just pray for me? I don't see any hands. Father, I thank you for these. Now help them, Lord, please, to continue to serve you and to walk with you, Father, and to love you with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength, that you might have the honor and the glory now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and give you a moment. If the Lord spoke to your heart and you raised your hand, why don't you slip out and come up to the altar, and whatever it was, you just give it over to the Lord. Just give it over to the Lord.